first of all, really good to see everyone out this evening. Here on Sunday nights, I have kind of started into something that I want to keep talking about, and that is spirituality. I've been doing some work on that as far as my coursework for my degree is concerned, and I found it to just be so good that I just want to share it. The title for tonight is Choosing a Lifestyle of Repentance. Well, that'll preach, won't it? Choosing a Lifestyle of Repentance. Now, I want to tell you about something that that I've done. This just drives me nuts, and I just do it from time to time. Now, I want to ask you if you ever do the same sort of thing, okay? So I don't feel all alone and by myself that I do something like that. When we lived in Oklahoma, we lived in Claremore for 4+ years, and, you know, Inola, where I grew up, is just about 10, 12 miles away. You know, we'd drive there and visit the folks and then drive back and, you know, in and out, you know, as time goes on. But then we moved back to Inola, and an interesting thing happened. We were living in Carpenter Edition. We lived up on the side of this hill, and from the main road, you could look up there and see our house. Well, one day, we went to visit Mom and Dad, just a few miles out of town there, and we come back. I'm driving along, and I just drive right past that. I'm headed to Claremore. Now, how many of you have ever done that sort of thing? Well, me and Al did that the other day. We decided we was going to go down here in this library and get the drinking fountain for the new building over here and take it up there and make it available for installation, you know. We talked about this and we plotted that we were going to go do this, and by Georgie, we set out to do it. We walked right down there, right down to the library, the copy room is where it was. Walked right there, we made right and headed right for my office. Because that's what I always do when I go down there. I don't ever go to the copy room to get the drinking fountain. You know what I'm saying? Do you ever do things like that? Church, what I'm trying to say here is that change is not always instantaneous. Change takes some effort, some continued effort, some continued practice. So the suggestion for the sermon tonight is that we think about repentance as not only something we do at the initial onset of salvation, but something that we continue to do every day. Yeah. Okay? Because every day is its own challenge to walk in God's directions. And sometimes our feet are used to walking in another direction. How many people in here have ever decided to stop doing something sinful, and a few days later they find themselves doing the same thing without even thinking about it? Why? Because your feet were used to going in that direction. Okay? So that's my concept for my whole lesson today. I think you've got that, and I just want to throw in a few details. I don't think we'll keep you over anything this evening, but I want to bring up a few things. First of all, I think that repentance begins with knowledge. God instills in us some basic ideas of right and wrong, and I think Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 2, particularly verses 14 and 15. And he gives us all the basic ability, for example, to know that he exists, Romans chapter 1. That's something very basic. And when we talk about repentance, it begins with the knowledge of what is right and wrong. Okay? With the most basic of knowledge, God expects us to be faithfully obedient to him. And this includes the idea, first of all, I think, of giving up ourselves. If I just lost all mental capacity to talk to you about any verse in the Bible, or the whole Bible, except for one, I choose Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And Jesus says, if you wish to come after me, if you want to come after me, you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Repentance, I think, begins with denying ourselves. And you know, church, that's something, I don't know, maybe you have worked out in the grand scheme of your mind how you could do that at one point in your life and then never have to worry about it anymore, but you know, it doesn't really work that way for normal people. Normal folk got to get up every morning and recommit themselves to the dedication of their heart, recommit themselves to giving themselves up. Do you struggle with that? Do you feel like some days you have something whipped and the next day you wake up struggling in the same old thing? You know, I feel kind of pretty silly when I'm that way, but it happens. I think about repentance in view of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. I think about people who had made the wrong decisions, a people who found out the right way, and a people who was sorrowful for that, and a people who said, "What must we do?" Church, I want to suggest to you that every morning we must be asking the Lord, what must we do? Because, you know, the Lord might have different things for us to do from day to day. Sometimes we get hung up in the idea that, you know, God wants me to do the same thing every day. Tomorrow, God may not want me to preach, church. God might want me to come and cut your grass. Now, I checked with him and he doesn't want that. You get the idea, right? Every morning I really need to be asked, what must I do? What do you want me to do today, Lord? Because today you might... You know, there's many days that I'm sitting there at my desk working on my sermon. That seems to me to be the priority. The thing that I ought to be engaged in, but God's got different plans for me. Have you ever do that? The phone will ring. Somebody says, I need you to come help me. I'm in a bad situation here. And I think, well, but what about my... I'm just thinking this. I never say it. But I need to work on my sermon. Then I'm thinking, well, forget that. God's telling me what He needs me to do here. He's opened the door for me. I'm being attentive to that. You know what? Sometimes we're not attentive. Somebody's banging at the door, and we're snoring on the couch. You know, well, God is banging on your door every morning, church. And you need to be attentive to what He has in mind for you. As I said earlier, repentance is more than sorrow, regret, or grief. All those these things certainly come into play. It's not just a feeling, but repentance is an action, okay? Repentance is an action. But beyond this basic implant of knowledge that God has given us about Himself and His desire for us to desire Him, I think about 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, where Paul tells Timothy, he says this, be diligent to show yourselves approved unto God. The word diligence is the word study. Study to show thyselves approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. When it comes to knowledge, this is not just something, church, that God just pours out for you and He gives you your portion. He doesn't hook up the SCSI cable to you and download what He needs you to know and there you... Church, knowledge is something that we grow in every day of our lives. And sometimes we get to the idea, and I've heard people say, I've just come as far as I can go. I've learned everything I can. You know, I'm not really able to understand a lot. Here's all I'm good for. Lord, do what you can with me. And God says, I don't think so, Tim. Any of y'all watch Tool Time? Okay. Forget that. He says, no, you open your mind, you read my word, you study this, and you learn from this. And you know what? As we learn, we grow, don't we? We find ourselves doing the very things that we never thought we'd be able to do. God says, I think you can do this. He moves you in that direction. Let me tell you what. The first time I preached a sermon, it lasted for 4 minutes. My brothers and sisters in Christ told me that it was great because short sermon. It's a good thing, right? But I remember I got up there. I was terrified. I was scared. I was all shades of blue and purple. I was scared to death. never imagine myself being a preacher. Well, I'm still not sure I am, but God, you know, God works on those things, right? God leads us to places that we can't imagine, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. So, in regard to knowledge, I think we have to submit ourselves to a regimen of study so that God can give us the information and the ability through that to grow. Is that all right to think that? And the second thing is repentance. Oh, I like this one. But it ain't easy. Repentance. Do y'all like hearing? Who said to say, don't say ain't? The little girl who said ain't fell in a bucket of paint and said she ain't gonna say ain't no more. Have you ever heard that?
No.
It's now in the dictionary and I can say it.
Say it ain't so.
Say it ain't so. Repentance grows out of confession. Repentance grows out of confession. And we must acknowledge our faults in order to grow.
Amen.
Someone has said that we cannot fix what we will not admit. You know, this morning, Dave and Jesse come down front and they just said, hey, we just want to do better in the Lord. We want to. They're down here confessing that they're having some struggles and they say, pray with us, pray for us, we want to do better. Man, that's where growth is. When we talk about spirituality, church, if you can't ask your brothers and sisters to pray, if you can't confess your difficulties with them, spirituality is out of the question for you. Spirituality includes growth, and growth begins really with the ability to confess. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive them, right? And you can't do nothing without God's forgiveness. You cannot begin to walk in the light as He is in the light if you're not willing to cough it up, give it up. Just say, Lord, here it is. I'm going to try to do better. Daily we must understand that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul tells that to the Roman church in Romans 3 and verse 23. There is great freedom in confession. When we do not confess our sins, we are bound in bondage. We've got a ball and chain, if you will, wrapped around our ankles that's holding us back. You ever seen a bird flying through the air with a ball and chain wrapped around his ankle? Nobody's seen that? Why? Because it can't happen, right? We can't soar and fly if we got a ball and chain attached around our ankle. All we can do is be a barnyard turkey or a buzzard or something. And we're not created for that, are we? God made us to soar. Yeah. To mount up with wings like eagles. Yeah. Now I'm starting to get into enjoying talking. I'm not looking at my notes. So Engel's got a good preaching face. He's back there smiling. And I don't know what I'm saying is really working on it. He's feeling good about it and I'm forgetting where I'm at. Okay, I'll get there. He's thinking about turkey. I'll take my deep fried. We must avoid at all costs the tendency to hide our sins. Adam and Eve, they tried that. How'd it work out for them? It didn't work out for them at all. Hiding sin is really an attempt to direct our own paths, and in doing so, ultimately asking God to take the back seat in our lives. Now, you know, when we have somebody ride somewhere with us in our car, my wife, I don't know where she come up with it. She always does it. She'll sit in the back seat and let the guests sit in the front seat. She reckons that that's a position of honor or something. She always does that, right? Can you imagine asking the Lord to step in your car and get in the trunk? You know, give Him the place of honor. And when we confess our sins, you know that honors God. Now, have you really thought about it that way? When you own up to your difficulties, that gives honor to God. I want to read to you Psalms chapter 139, verse 23 through 24. David says this. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there are any hurtful ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's more than confession even, isn't it, church? God, search my heart. Maybe I'm not even able to confess all the things in my life because maybe I'm not in full understanding of them all. But God, I invite you to come into my life, dig through all the muck and the mire, and point out to me even areas that I've not identified. Man, now that's a repentant lifestyle, isn't it? That's a lifestyle that's looking for change. Eternal change, not just momentary change. Is momentary a word? It sounded good. I think that's right. We must understand that the depth the depth of the discussion about repentance is to such a level that Satan is always there like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. He's there. He's ready to pounce on us. He's active. And he's out to change our minds in a bad way if we don't wake up every morning and direct our thoughts toward God. Repentance also grows out of an understanding of what sin is. And here a while back we had a sermon where we talked about sin. Remember when I put the target up front and had Ryan and Cameron get the darts and throw it at the target? And we discussed the concept in the New Testament of sin being missing the mark. An understanding, church, that God has a mark for each of us. He has something, he has an area that he wants us to attain to. He has something he wants us to step up to. Each one of us, he has a mark, and we have to understand that sin is not just doing the wrong things, although certainly that is a part of sin, but sin ultimately is a missing of the mark that God has for us. Well, man, I want to really get serious about repentance every day in my life because you know what? I don't want to miss that mark that God set for me. Because if I hit the mark that God has set for me, then I please Him. And I don't want anything short of pleasing God in my life. Oh, repentance takes on some different thoughts as we consider an understanding of what sin is. And how when we keep ourselves from sin, when we remain pure, how well that pleases the Father. Does just the thought of pleasing God make you happy? Church, if you're a Christian, it ought to. Pleasing God should be everything to us. Repentance also grows with delight in righteousness. Now, as I mentioned this morning, I've got a few other delights in this world. I delight in power tools. Al can tell you that. We swap power tool stories all the time. I watch Tim the Tool Man because I like power tools. I've got a bunch of power tools in my garage. I like ribeye steaks. I find particular delight in ribeye steaks. But how much concern of my heart is upon delighting in the Lord? How much of my life is focused in on the direction of righteousness? How concerned am I about walking in the paths of righteousness? Church, the mindset of repentance is one that feels this way about God to the exclusion of all other things. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Is God the most important thing in your life? You know that song we sing? And I'm not going to sing it too much. I'm not really good at that. But we place you on the highest place. Isn't that a wonderful song? Do you ever stop and consider what you're saying when you're singing that song? Is God really on the throne of your heart? Does He really take the number one place? Something to think about before we say those things. When you lay down at night to go to sleep, do you dream about heaven? Do you stop and ponder the greatness of grace? Do you just stop and think about how great God is? How much is your desire on God? Repentance and living a repentant life every day is one that increases that desire. When we wake up every morning, we decide to embrace change. You know, the problem is, we don't want change. Why? Because I know what to expect if I don't change, right? It becomes routine. It becomes ordinary. What's so hard about change? Don't know what to expect. But God says, look folks, I want you to be that type of people. I want you to wake up in the morning. I want you to just commit yourself to whatever change needs to happen in your life. Make yourself readily available to God for His purpose, His direction, and His decision in your life that day. Whew. What if God wants me to go to Africa today? I ain't been to Africa lately. I might as well go if it's going to please Him, right? Now, really, if God presented you that opportunity, would you view it in that way? Or would you be like some, and even myself at some times, let me check my calendar, God. Oh, I've got something to do today. You got anything open next week? Do you do that? Now, everybody's looking down. Nobody's looking at me in my face right now. What's up with that? Do you ever do that? We do that, don't we? Repentance is the light switch of praise. I hope you like that because I just come up with that cute little thought. Repentance is the light switch of praise. If you're thinking repentance when you wake up every day, it just turns on praise to God. And church, I want to tell you something. God likes praise. Amen?
Amen.
He wants that. He expects that from us. I think about Jesus when He's coming in to Jerusalem, you know, during that final time there. And He comes in and the Pharisees, hey, you know, stop letting everybody worship you or whatever. And what does Jesus say to them? Hey, if I quiet down these folks, even the rocks are going to cry out. Praise is something, church, that will happen with or without you. I want you to know that. It'll happen with or without me. But that's what I was designed to do. To praise God. If I don't praise Him, if I choose a life of selfishness where I'm not going to embrace change, the rocks will cry out, the carpet will cry out in praise and adoration to God. Church, if we stifle praise to God in our life, we're not going to be healthy. It'd be like a person with a disease. We were made to rely on God and to count on Him. I think about Jeremiah when he says in chapter 20 in verse 9, he says, you know, he says, the Word of God, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. And he says, I can't help but to let it out. When we take on this mindset of repentance, it leads us to praise of God. I think about King David when he had sinned with Bathsheba. And as we read in Psalms chapter 51 of his repentant heart, he really kind of comes to some understanding, it seems to me, through what he says there, that he understands that he's going to have to embrace the idea of continued change in his life. And he says this, Psalms 51, verse 15. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. His repentance had led him to the altar of praise. You know, I think about this. Would it be fair to say sometimes that Christians come to the altar of praise without repentance in their heart? Have you, if you're anything like me, from time to time throughout my life, I've showed up at the altar of God to praise and worship Him and my heart wasn't right. Have you ever been there? And I wasn't able to do what I was there to do. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, really good stuff. It says, through Him then, Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to His name. Only when we give ourselves up. You see where I'm going with this? Only when we surrender ourselves can we give God what's due Him. The next point, which is number 4 if you're keeping track. Repentance draws others to God. Repentance draws other people to God. A repentant heart is a heart full of passion. A heart that is working fully for God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. A heart that is deeply moved, deeply convicted, a heart that cannot contain its own excitement. Now I want to tell you something. I'm all the time evaluating my preaching. I think about what I'm saying, how effectively it's received, how effectively it's given. But you know what is so valuable and important is that I try with all my heart not to stand up here and try to communicate God's Word to you without it deeply moving my heart. That is essential as far as pleasing God and spirituality. A repentant heart that realizes that it struggles through life, that it's not perfect, that it has so much area to, so much room that it needs to approach to please God. A heart that comes from that standpoint pleases God because that type of heart has a passion about it. Now, here's the thing. I got to make sure that God, that the Satan doesn't come in and start messing with that. Oh, Dan, you're humble. You're a great preacher. Dan, you're really good. You need a raise. Dan. You hear all that business? Satan can tell you, but I want you to think about it. You don't have to be a preacher for this story to be applicable. You hear what I'm saying? You've got to be passionate for God. And that passion draws other people to the throne of grace. That passion is what helps us get in gear with Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, taking the gospel to all the world. If you just come in here every day and I said, you know, you come in here on Sunday and I said, okay, here's a sermon. Okay, see y'all next time. That wouldn't have much effect on anybody. If I went out here to talk to somebody about the gospel and I just said, you know, you need to be saved. Hope you make it. I like it. Is that very moving? But what if I sat down with you and I moved to tears? Not on purpose, but just because I'm thinking about your soul. Would that really make you think? Stop and think? That passion of the heart that God calls. Church, that comes from a repentant heart. That comes from something that we need to wake up with every day. And finally, repentance brings us to spiritual wholeness. A repentant lifestyle brings us to spiritual wholeness. I don't know about you, but I want to see the hilltops of glory. I want to be raised up on Mount Zion. I want to live my life in the presence of God. I don't want to be part of what God wants me to be, but church, I want to be all of what God wants me to be. I realize that I'm not that. And I ask Him, I implore Him to help me, because I want to be whole for the Lord. I don't want Him to have a half a heart for me, so He can only accomplish half of what He's got designed for me to do. I want to give all myself to Him. I want to surrender my life to Him. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, Jesus says, after seeking the outward appearance, is like whitewashing tombs to give a grand appearance, while the truth is that they are only houses of dead men's bones. Sometimes we get so hung up on our appearance. You know, how am I coming off? Do I have a good demeanor about me? Do I have a good character about me? How are you receiving me? What's my appearance? You know, do my tie on straight? How do I look? You know, all that stuff, that facade stuff, that external stuff. And God says, you know what? I'm not really concerned about the external. I want to know what's in the heart. That's what He says. In church, when we talk about a lifestyle of repentance, we really talk about being concerned about what's in the heart, right? God wants us to be concerned with that. Matthew chapter 12, as we finish, is the story. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45, is the story about Jesus casting a demon out of this guy. And when the demon's cast out, the demon goes away. This guy sweeps his house, he cleans his house, okay? But then a demon comes back and he brings some buddies with him and moves in, and he cleaned his house, but he didn't fill his house. He left room for bad things to move in. Repentance is really a way of filling your space with God. And church, I want to tell you, when God is in your space, there ain't nothing else going to get in your space. Now, here's what's possible. It might be that there might be too much of you in your space. That's my big problem, and I got to always be watching out of that sometimes, because I'm thinking about what I want, what I desire, what I need. And God's saying, this is about me. So that's really kind of where I wanted to go this evening. I want to talk to you about the concept of moving past the idea that repentance is a one-time thing. Certainly there is an initial repentance, but I think there's a level of repentance that needs to happen every day as we're willing to embrace the change that God has planned for us on a daily basis. This evening, there might be someone here that might need to confess something. There might be somebody here that needs to put the Lord on in baptism. Might be someone here that needs some prayers. Might even be someone here that just has something that they'd like to rejoice with the rest of the church about. Whatever your need is, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.